Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. Here's where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults with mental health addiction problems. I'm Lon Woodbury, an educational consultant, independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. My guest today is Kansas Cafferty. Well, welcome. Good afternoon to you, Kansas.
Thank you, Lon. Thank you for having me on today.
Okay. Well, Kansas is the executive director of True North Recovery Services, located in California. And the topic he's going to talk about is body brokering in healthcare. Fascinating thing. It's something that in the education field, we've called it finder's fees, but the same concept. So tell us, what is, in a few words, what is body brokering?
Body brokering is the sale of a patient to a provider at a cost. Somebody gives me a specific amount of money for my referral.
I use the term in our in the education field, cash for kids, because that's really what it is. You're getting cash for brokering people. It's it's considered highly unethical on the crowd I run in, and I gather you feel the same.
Mine as well.
Yeah. So what's the problem with it in healthcare? What does it cause? How does the clients get hurt by this?
Well, if I say someone comes in to see me in my private practice, I am sitting down with them. I'm doing a thorough assessment. I'm getting to know them. I'm really identifying that they need a higher level of care than what I can provide in my office. Well, I pull their family in. We sit down. We have a discussion. We establish sort of what their resource profiles are. Sort of, are they insurance dependent? Are they pretty well off and able to just financially pay for whatever treatment's needed, et cetera? Once I've established that, I'm going to look at what facilities out there are the very best. What is going to give this patient the optimum chance of success at overcoming the problems that brought them into seeing me? Once I've made that, I'm going to put the family in contact with that facility. I'm going to work with them on placing their son or daughter in that facility. Mm-hmm. And what we're having here, because you know with treating humans, we always have that sort of you never know, there are no guarantees, but you know after you've been doing this for a while, you can kind of try to help people get to the place that gives them the very best shot.
And one thing I'd like to throw into that, because the top priority is the best needs are the best services for that particular client. That's the motivator
that they can access.
Yeah,
that they can access.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that you always have to factor that in as part of making a responsible referral. I think I've had lots of patients that I wish I could send to the Betty Ford Center, but I can't.
Yeah.
But there is a place that is going to give them the best shot. And so the problem with it is that and something that's occurring right now in my field is that somebody is willing to give me $3,000 to send them to their facility. So now I have maybe four or five facilities that are all offering a different number to me.
As in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not to temptation. Well, there comes the temptation.
And there it is. There it is. And so now I'm sitting here looking at my patient, and I'm looking at my list of people who are all willing to give me $5,000. And none of them are quite right. This one's sort of in the neighborhood. I guess I'll go there. Mm-hmm. When there's somebody who wasn't on that list that I know in the back of my head probably was really a better fit. And so I'm making a choice that is not in the best interest of my patient.
And a lot
because
of,
I've been offered this inducement.
You know, and a lot of that is subconscious, because I know some people say, well, I won't make any difference. It won't influence my decision. I don't know if that's impossible if you've got mortgages to come up.
It's absolutely impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You can either do it or not do it. You know, but if you're doing it, don't delude yourself. You know that you are compromised.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how big of a problem is that? I know in therapeutic boarding schools that I work with, in wilderness therapy, it was a serious problem for quite a while. But we went through the battles. The state regulations have tightened up pretty good in most states, and so it's sort of it's almost like going back in history to talk about it rather than so much of an immediate problem. It still goes on. But you're a little bit earlier in that process of trying to get a handle on it, I think.
Yeah, no, it's rampant for us right now. It's to the point where it was sort of the scenario I just described is more about a program approaching a therapist or an individual. Compared to what we're dealing with now, that would re and that was happening and still does, but that's more small scale. Because therapists are hard to get to turn around. We're licensed professionals. We don't tend to like that kind of stuff. We've taken oaths, et cetera. So we're not the greatest market for people that are willing to be shady like this. Now what they're doing is setting up call centers that are manned by non-professionals, typically salespeople. Sometimes they're putting people that are in treatment centers as the ones on the phones doing this. And they pay these folks a commission now for every qualified lead that they give over to a treatment center. Some of these call centers are enormous. They have national advertising campaigns. Basically, if it's 1-800, I'll help you of any kind, don't call it because you're going to get sold. These guys are just selling them to the, they've got contracts all over the place with facilities, and they're just shuttling people to them.
What?
None of these
Yeah.
folks are qualified to make a clinical assessment, let alone decide what facility is a good match for the person who's on the other end of the phone line. They're not therapists,
Yeah.
they're not clinicians. They're at best somebody who was selling mortgages last week.
Let me approach this from another direction because that's a fairly common thing in a lot of industries. Where you're selling cars or where you're selling widgets or what have you. So it's pretty common in our society. And what's the difference between that and the healthcare industry? Why is it so touchy with the healthcare industry, but not necessarily in cars or things like that?
Cars don't have souls, Lon.
Good point. Absolutely.
I this is about life and death. It's not about whether somebody made or saved $500 here and there. That's all just part of living in a capitalistic society, and we lose sometimes being in that society, and we win
Yeah,
sometimes.
well, in cars, we
That's
might,
how it goes.
in a referral on a car, we might wind up with a lemon, but that's inconvenient. But you're right, it's not life and death. And
That's right. It's just how it goes.
yeah,
We all reap the benefits and play with the cons of that situation.
and you don't
But
have a
when it's
per
come.
you don't have a personal relationship with a therapist like you have with a car dealer. Car dealer, it's a one time only largely, and maybe 2, 3, 4 years later you come back. But there's nothing like that. The relationship is really the key to the service of what you do.
That's right. That's right. And if you ruin the person's ability to trust in the future, in other, if they need help again in the future, which they're sent to the wrong program is highly likely, how can they trust any healthcare professional? I look back at, even if you go back to the 60s into, say, the Tuskegee experiments, you had African American males they were letting them die to research them of syphilis. They knew that they, at least physicians knew they had syphilis. And for years and years and years, children were told not to trust their doctors in the African American community after that.
Well,
And for good reason.
and right, absolutely, and sounds like with some what's happening currently, that mistrust hasn't gone away.
Right. And so we're looking at, okay, now are people going to go and say, well, you can't trust mental health care professionals?
I know
Because
it.
they're really,
Yeah, I
they're on the
know.
take. They're looking to take your money.
Yeah, well, I know I've been accused as an independent educational consultant, so I'm saying I know how you guys work. You're on the take, and I have to work them through that. And I can honestly say I'm not taking them. I don't take it. I've campaigned against it because it's just unethical. I mean, when I first started, one time I placed a kid in the place, and they sent me a $1,000 check. Oh well, I was cash flow, and that was good. And I just and it was dirty. It just felt dirty. The whole thing felt dirty, and so. So I'm adamantly opposed to that, and I'm glad to hear that there's things happening. Well, how is the campaign coming? I guess it's sort of a campaign to try to get the interventions and the addiction treatment centers up to date and into more firm ethical standards.
That's what we would like. I mean, it's the whole industry. I mean, they've got to make some examples out of some of the worst players out there.
By they, you mean the state, the government?
Yeah, the legal system, really. District attorney's offices, investigative units, things like that. They've really got to pick out some of the worst players and really make an example out of them. They've got to show people that it's not a slap on the wrist, that people are going to do prison time. And some of that has begun to happen, and there are also some large-scale suits that are going on. United Behavioral Healthcare just filed a $50 million lawsuit against Sky Toxicology. And they named Elements Behavioral Health, that owns Promises. They named Solid Landings, some owners of Solid Landings, which is a program in Orange County. And then Above It All, another treatment provider, and their CEO they named as an individual out in Riverside County. And they named these guys because they were in a urine drug testing kickback scheme. And they did a 1 to 150 list because they're assuming that through discovery they're going to find more people to add to that list. And it's a pretty big lawsuit. And I think this, on the civil side, we're going to also start to see some of this as the third party payers come back and say, you don't get to just push us around. We're too big for that.
Well, I imagine another part of the thing is more people to think like you, that this is unethical, that just, it doesn't feel right, or it's unethical, or feel dirty is my thing. That you get more people thinking that, so it's an education among your the professionals working in these programs too, I presume.
It is, and like I belong to a group right now that is of treatment centers, the employees, owners, et cetera, that has assembled, and we're meeting on a monthly basis to look at things that we can do. Mm-hmm. I know of another such group that's going to have their first meeting this coming Thursday in Orange County. The one I'm attending is up in Riverside County. And these are starting to take shape and take form all over. And they're happening. It's very grassroots, and it's among professionals in field that are sick of this, because we're, I watch a patient that I've seen struggle get sucked into one of these things before they know it. And I've been working for months with a person trying to help them get to the optimum place for where they're going to be. And I watch them get shuffled off to some place that, treatment is a TV. They're not giving them any treatment at all.
Yeah.
They're it's just a conveyor belt that's really designed to bill insurance companies. If anything, the person may, maybe they don't allow drugs in the facility, and they've got that going for them. But even that's in question sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys, a lot of these body brokers will actually, some of them will go into AA meetings and tell people, hey, I'll get you into a better facility. You have to get high once, though. So this is a person with 3 weeks sober. You have to get high once so that your insurance will say that you need medical necessity.
Well, there's got to be a law broken there on doing that.
Oh yeah. Well,
okay.
And then they say come to my facility because I'll give you $500. I'll give you $1,000, whatever it is.
Oh yeah.
I heard of one case not long ago that was a body broker who had paired up with an addict, and they, what they were doing was going around and admitting him to a detox. He would split the kickback money with the addict, who would then use after detoxing with that money until he ran out of money, and then they would admit him to another detox, get another kickback, and do the whole cycle over and over again. They did it for months.
This is a new definition of a drug distributor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Well, good luck on that. And anything I can do with any experience that we've had in this area, having gone through something very similar, just call. Let us know. I think you can get a lot of help.
Okay. Yeah. I would appreciate that. And there are a lot of other folks that I'm working with that will be interested in hearing that as well. I don't think that I knew that. I don't think I was aware of how much the educational consulting industry had gone through this already and had made significant headway already. So that's already an area now that I'm going to go back and do a lot of research in. So.
Yeah. Well, I think a large part of it is your professional organizations put that prohibition strictly into it for the counselors or any organization you have. That would help. Along the line,
yeah.
At least that's off the top of the head. But at any rate, we about ran out of time, but I promised you about a half a minute. Tell me about the True North Recovery Services that you are that you're executive director of, and spend about a half minute talking about it and how to contact if anybody wants to contact you or hear more about your program.
Okay. Well, I've got two websites. I've got CaffertyClinic.com, which is a group private practice, psychotherapy based in Encinitas, California. And that is CAFFERTY and then clinic.com. And the other website is for my intensive outpatient program, and that's SanDiegoAddictions.com. And the intensive outpatient program's been open for 5 years, also in Encinitas, California, which is in San Diego County. Really kind of set this up as a place that doesn't want to, we don't beat people up to have them think that that's going to help them get better. We're not betrothed to anybody. We're here to help as many as we possibly can. We're an out-of-network provider. We're able to work with most insurance companies pretty well. Cafferty Clinic is actually in network as a private practice with several insurance carriers, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, et cetera. And I provide therapy services in both. I've been at this for a long time. I came out of foster care at 18, got sober by walking into an emergency room, and have worked in addictions and mental health since I was 19 years old. Put myself through school and did this whole thing. And when I'm sitting across the table from somebody, I can usually take the Pepsi challenge with just about any other stories, and so securing their trust ends up being something that can happen in pretty short order.
Okay. Well, and a phone number or web or email?
I'll give you the telephone number is 760-517-6544. And we also have help at sandiegoaddictions.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Very fascinating, and maybe we can talk about this some more and do a further interview. But this is Alon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and I'm talking with Kansas Cafferty, the Executive Director of True North Recovery Services in California. Thank you very much. Good to talk with you, Kansas.
You too, Alon. You too. Thanks a lot.